Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it...
They're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, open phone Friday, Paul J., Chris, and... Master Bobby in his hoodie.
It's Todd.
Oh, is that Todd?
It is.
Oh. I thought we hired somebody else and is wearing a hoodie with big earphones over it. Master Todd with one D. All right. It's an open phones Friday. Give us a call if you want to talk about anything today. We obviously have to talk about Syria, but I want to start out with something else. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on Verizon Wireless. Do you hear what LeVar Ball said?
The father of the Ball brothers that have played basketball?
Yeah.
I did not hear what he said, no.
Yeah, well, he said, okay, realistically, this is what he said.
Okay.
About the UCLA run for the championship, right? Realistically, this is a quote from LeVar Ball. Realistically, you can't win no championship with three white guys because the foot speed is too slow. I told Lonzo, that's his son who played for UCLA.
Mm-hmm. Who is not white.
One of these games, you might need to go for 30 or 40 points. It turned out that was the one game.
That they lost?
Mm-hmm. Once they get to the Elite Eight, they're right there. The father of Lonzo Ball was referring to Bryce Alford, T.J. Leaf, and Thomas Welsh,
uh-huh.
who are three white starters for the UCLA Bruins. And, of course, UCLA fell to Kentucky 86-75. While Ball might have wanted his son to score 30, Lonzo ended up with 10.
Really?
On 4 of 10 shooting. Including 1 of 6 from three-point range. Meanwhile, his counterpart, De'Aaron Fox, scored 39 points for Kentucky.
Being guarded by, or supposedly being guarded by Lonzo Ball?
Mm.
Oh, wow.
As for his teammates, Leaf has declared for the NBA draft. The white guy. And expected to be a first-round pick, according to Draft Express. Alford finished his career with 1,922 points.
Now, is that Steve Alford's son?
Yes.
Okay.
One of the coach's son.
Right.
One of the best totals in UCLA history. Now, what if a white guy...
Said something derogatory? You don't have to say what he would say. We can guess.
The reason we lost the championship is because we had too many black guys on the team.
Or something of that nature. He would be roundly chastised.
You can't win starting as many as three black guys because whatever.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Especially if it was like a commentator or something.
A commentator would have already been fired for that.
Yeah, Lonzo, father of a player.
Yeah, but Mr. Ball won't get fired from anything because...
No.
His main thing he does is try to publicize his sons.
Yeah.
That's like his job.
Sure got away with saying this,
and
though, didn't
it's,
he?
It's going to be lucrative one of these days.
Yeah? Not sure about that, Chris.
Well, it might.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they could, you know, I don't know.
And now he's got his kids trying to pick out exactly, you know, because Boston's got the first round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want to play for Boston. I don't think Boston wants him.
So he wants his kids to choose which NBA team they would like to have draft them.
Yeah, and
I see.
Lonzo obviously would love to play for the Lakers, who have the number 2 pick. But Boston being a more traditional team,
mm-hmm.
they might not draft him, even though he's probably the best prospect. They might not
draft him
drafting his dad as well.
What's funny, though, Boston really, this is going to sound weird because of all the great players they've had over the years, but they hardly ever draft anybody who is like the one good guy on a team. You know what I mean by that?
Right.
Where, you know, he's the guy that does all the scoring, you know, the team right. scores 50 points a game and he scores 35 of them. Boston doesn't tend to draft guys that are like that. A lot of teams do, and sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't. But Boston usually gets, you know, the guys that have good passing statistics and few turnovers and things like that. That's kind of been their tradition.
That's Lonzo. Lonzo is the best passing point guard in basketball.
Well, then maybe they'll take him.
Yeah. I mean, he's the best passing.
But they will handle the ball. They will more than likely, if they take him, they will ask him not to.
Did you keep your dad out of the locker?
Yeah, exactly. Not to be coached by his father.
Well, it'll be a little different once you get to the pros.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's kind of a reverse racism type of thing to say that you can't win basketball games with white guys.
Yeah.
And I would say, unless they're good, I'm guessing you can't win games with anybody unless they're good.
Yeah.
Or at least play together well or something.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things you could say here, but they'd all be counterproductive.
Exactly right.
Oh, phone's Friday. Let's start it off with Rich. Rich, good morning.
Hey, good morning. The only redeeming thing that I liked about Trump was that his position last week.
Hey, Rich, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to stick you back on hold here. I'm way late for a break. I've just been reminded I got to do traffic. We'll be back with Rich and Open Phones Friday.
Final Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
It's 8:50. Open Phones Friday. Let's get back to Rich. Rich, sorry about that.
Okay. Well, you know, his position during the campaign that let Russia deal with ISIS, I agreed with that because Assad, I think that we really want Assad in power because if Assad's out of power, then you have three groups involved in a civil war, and there'll be so much killing. I mean, the group that we support, they're not really good guys either. They do the same thing if they have a chance. Assad would consider them terrorists, and they are. And then you have ISIS. And so, I think this is, you know, Americans love war, and his approval numbers will go way up. Assad and Russians have been killing civilians. I mean, we do drone attacks and kill like 50 civilians at weddings. So it's just, and it's, you know, getting involved. I mean, I wouldn't be against being involved in this war if I actually thought, if actually somebody would explain some way to where we could help. I just frustrated. I don't think we can. I mean, if we get rid of Assad, I think we're going to have a big mess. I think we're just going to have a big mess either way, just like,
Chris is pretty sure we'll end up with ISIS in control of a Muslim nation.
Or an Islamic Republic, as they call it.
That's kind of what I think. But I don't think the other side that's fighting Assad, I don't think they're necessarily any better than ISIS. They're not. See, Assad was a secular leader. He kept all this religious squabbling. He kept it under control, just like Saddam did and Gaddafi did. They were secular leaders.
Also
and
dictators.
But with them gone, then we'll still have dictators, but there'll be one religious fanatic group or another. You see what I'm saying?
How many times has the U.S. been in this situation where we attempted to get rid of a dictator and then the group that took over after that was even worse?
Many, many, many.
Well, yeah, it's been enough to where I don't have any faith in the process anymore. You know, I mean, it used to be, you know, like 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you know, the United States, you know, after World War II, we thought, well, we can try to fix problems, and we didn't have that good luck. You know, we had Korea and Vietnam, and they were kind of messes, and so since then, I just decided I just don't think we can. I mean, if there's some sort of humanitarian, or if there was something that we could do, if they could really say, okay, we can go in there and do this, and we can make things better, I would be all for it. I just don't see a positive outcome at all.
Me neither.
No matter what we do.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, Rich. Well, and we kind of agree with that.
Yeah, we talked about that when we first went on this morning.
What's the best that can happen?
Yeah. And, you know, Donald Trump didn't just start tweeting last year. He's been tweeting, you know, since Twitter was invented. And 4 years ago, he kept tweeting that Obama should never go into Syria, that he should never bomb Syria, that it would be the worst thing we could possibly do. And like I said this morning, I think what happened is he saw the pictures of the children, you know, being hosed off, and you know, yeah. Remember that guy who lost like 22 members of his family,
yeah, including
his twin boys and his wife, and he
whole
was just
family wiped.
Yeah,
out.
And he was just wailing, you know, understandably so. But Trump saw that stuff and then apparently decided, okay, we've got to do something, which I understand, but
people last night kept saying, okay, all of what you're saying is sad and terrible,
certainly,
but affects us how?
Yeah, well, I mean, it affects us if we're humanitarians,
exactly,
and things like that. However, just
is that enough,
as the United States of America, I guess what happens in other countries doesn't always have much of an effect on us.
Okay.
But
the headline on Fox right now, Syria strike sends powerful message to North Korea.
First thing I thought of last night.
Yeah.
Is that okay? By the way, if you don't think we can get you whenever we feel like it, just watch this.
And the headline on CNN says
Mr. Tough Guy.
Syria and Russia condemn U.S. aggression.
Well,
so Russia
Syria,
is really... Now,
Syria
is Russia
would,
coming
it?
Out in condemnation of this action?
Because they didn't think of it first?
Well, I was kind of along that line.
Yeah.
But to assuade perhaps Syria to, you know, kind of go, yeah, we're on your side here and we think you got hosed and it's... It's your...
And by the way, if you start taking orders only from us, things are going to get so much better for you.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that's why they're doing it?
Yeah, and the thing is...
Do you think they're really that ticked off?
Putin is...
They knew about it in advance.
As far as I'm concerned, you know, Putin is not Russian, as far as I'm concerned. He's Soviet.
Yeah.
And there's a difference.
Yeah. Be interesting to see what happens. But the North Korean message, I think that... That may be the best thing to come out of it.
Yeah, and as far
or
as
not,
and as
depending
far,
on what
as
happened.
Far as whether Kim Jong Un will get the message or not, I'm going to go with no.
You think not?
Yeah.
See, I can't argue against that.
No,
because he hasn't gotten the message.
When was the last time he did anything that was sensible?
I'm thinking.
Okay, I'll give you an hour.
Give me some time here. KBOI News Time, 8:56. We're going to take a news break at the top of the hour. Update you on all of what's happening nationwide and around the world. We'll be back with another hour of Idaho Talks Live.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho. 670 KBOI.
All right, got it. Got it open phones Friday. Why can't I hear myself?
You what?
Am I talking? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I couldn't hear me.
Oh.
Got it open phones Friday going. Paul J. and Chris, 336-3700. 1-800-529-5264, #670 on Verizon Wireless. And we'll talk about anything that's on your mind.
Got a few instant messages that have come in. Boise Rabble Rouser of Boise, of course, says, "Hail, fellow deep thinkers. Why does the U.S. ignore genocide in the Central African Republic? Because it's not ISIS and there's no oil. And with 2,000 children a day dying of starvation in sub-Saharan Africa, where is our aid for those? U.S. foreign policy is get gassed, get help. Get hacked to death by a machete or die of starvation. Too bad, so sad." We are kind of selective at times.
Well, the easy solution and the answer given by people of color is because they don't look like us.
Hmm.
I mean, talking for white people.
Possibility.
The people in Africa don't look like the white people that run the country, so they fall somewhere down on the scale. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. Not my call. But here's the deal. There are people starving to death everywhere in the world. mm-hmm. everywhere. And there are atrocities everywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There are people starving to death in this country.
There was one in Sweden earlier.
Yeah.
And they always rank in the top five of happiness index or whatever.
Tra-la-la-la.
Or in the bottom five of suffering.
You can't save everybody.
True. David, a Boise.
A lot of people think you should try, and you got to appreciate that, but you can't save everybody.
David, a Boise says, where was the rest of the world? Why do we always have to be the one to act? Why couldn't there be 10 U.S. missiles and 50 of other countries' missiles as a combined effort to put a stop to terrorism? If we have allies, why can't we coordinate with them, share, and kick some butt?
Well, the Syrian thing isn't necessarily to put a stop to terrorism.
Well, that's true. It was supposed to put a stop to...
atrocities.
Releasing... poison bombs on your own people.
Yeah. Let's go to Dave of Boise. Dave, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I just heard on one of your news releases just now that I guess the city council and the mayor want to give themselves a pay raise.
Right.
But isn't that funny? Because don't they know what they're making annually when they run for these positions?
Well, yeah, I'm guessing they are aware of it, yeah.
You can say that about anybody who takes a job. I mean,
exactly. So you know what you're making when you take the job. If you think it's not enough, then you should negotiate before you take the job.
But if let's say you've had the same job for 20 years and you've never had a raise, do you still have that same opinion?
Yes.
Or only if it's an elected public job.
If you voluntarily keep running for it, then, you know, bad on you.
Okay.
I couldn't disagree more. I mean, I signed a contract when I first came over to KBOI years and years and years and years and years ago. If I was still making the money I was making in that contract, I'd be in the bread line.
But you negotiate it before you accept...
No. Well, you negotiate before you accept the job... But then you keep negotiating so you get more money the longer you stay. I mean, I keep negotiating new contracts every 3-4 years. I mean, that's the way it works.
But I wonder if the percentage of pay increase that they're getting is the same as what they're giving to the rest of the employees.
I'm going to go with no on that because they're getting about 20%, aren't they?
Well, wait a minute, though, Chris. They haven't had a raise in 10 years.
True.
So you take 20% over 10 years, it's 2%.
So per year, yeah.
I got no problem with it.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Dave. So Dave basically says if you get a job, you should work for the same salary till you die.
Well, and we've heard the same argument for people we've had the same argument from people who talk about the minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been times when we've disagreed with that, though, because we said, okay, you took a minimum wage job and you're demanding now to be paid twice as much, but you're still doing the exact same work. And sometimes, you know, those people have only been on the job for 6 weeks.
Yeah. And, you know, the people who aren't on minimum wage but are on the next level up
now
then get passed up by you. And they are working below minimum wage
now, the numbers,
and doing harder work.
The numbers we're talking about.
Yeah.
The mayor of Boise currently makes $113,000 a year,
right.
And if he gets this raise, he'll make about $130,000.
Mm-hmm. It's a big raise for 1 year.
From my perspective, that's a lot.
He hasn't had a raise in 10 years, Chris.
From some people's perspective, it's not. But for me, that's a lot of dough.
Hasn't had a raise in 10 years.
Exactly.
So.
I don't know, though. I mean, I just feel like if I were making $113,000 and didn't have a raise in 10 years, I might still be okay with that. You know, just because I'm still getting $113,000 a year.
Basically, you're agreeing with the guy who just called.
No, I'm talking it over in my own mind.
You're agreeing with them because you're saying, well, if I was making that salary, I'd just drive home every night with a big grin on my face.
Okay, I guess I must be then.
Yeah.
Because that is what I'm saying.
Yeah. All right.
Boss, that's what I'm saying.
Where's my $113,000? Okay, let's go to Brian. Let's go to Brian of Boise. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. A couple of points. I wanted to make a comment about the mayor, but first, you guys were just talking about the poverty and stuff. First of all, everybody that lives in the United States, you've basically hit the life jackpot. So, I mean, even if you're the poorest people
no question.
In this country,
you're poor with a flat screen TV.
Like 1 or 2%.
That's a good point. In a lot of countries, they consider poor people in the United States to be rich.
Yeah.
Oh, true. Yes. But my bigger point now is about the mayor. So when you're dealing with public funds, okay, you need to be more responsible. And 21% in 1 year is outrageous. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I've never received a 21% raise ever in my life in 1 year. And I get the whole thing about not having raises of previous years and stuff like that. But what they need to do, which I think would solve a lot of the public's outrage and stuff, is every year it should just go on the ballot. Does the mayor deserve a raise? Does the council deserve a raise?
Well, they never get raises.
When you have the council saying, hey, we just vote ourselves raises. Yeah, Patty Chuck.
They'd never get raises.
It's a wonderful job.
I don't think so.
I think that people, if it's a reasonable amount, I don't think anybody would have a beef with, a 2%, 3% raise, like, which is basically what all companies do, screw the employees, just giving them these petty things that barely keep up with inflation.
Nobody wants their taxes raised to give somebody else a raise.
I'd vote yes, because I have no problem with that.
Really?
21%, absolutely outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. And he should be ashamed. Beter should be ashamed of himself for accepting such a disgusting amount. Anyway, gentlemen, have a nice day. God bless you.
Thank you.
I know it doesn't look good.
And I disagree with them, but I'm
going to have to look this up. I don't remember what year it was, but you know how the president of the United States used to make $200,000 a year, and that lasted for a long time.
Now he makes four?
Now 400, and because 1 year they just decided to double it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. And for the record, I think both of us have gotten, at least at some point during our careers, have gotten a substantial raise.
I've gotten a 20% raise.
Yeah, I once got a 50% raise.
Yeah.
But at the time, it brought me up to the national standard.
Poverty level. Okay, it's 9:15.
Hey, good percentage, though.
Home phones Friday.
you always want bigger numbers next to the dollar sign.
That's right. Home phones Friday. We'll be back. You're listening to KBOI Boise.
Great percentage.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
All right. Oh, sorry, interrupted the vocal there. KBOI News Time 9:21. KBOI Rewards Code Syria, S-Y-R-I-A, Syria. Go to 670kboi.com. Enter Syria. Earn today's 5,000 rewards points. Back to the phones. Enter open phones Friday. And Bill of Boise. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. This is Dale.
Oh, Dale. Hi, Dale.
Oh, hi, Dale. Yeah, anyway, on this mayor raise and everything, the point is not, in my opinion, not how much he's getting. Yes, I haven't had a raise for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, he ran for public office, and so did all the board and the council people. And that's over $10,000 a month, plus per diem, plus benefits, plus paid vacation, plus sick leave, plus, for a public office that we're paying for. And that is a lot of money for anybody to make in any profession. And honestly, I don't see where he does much to deserve pay like that. And again, it's not their 20% raise or whatever. There should be a consistent increase in financial. However, public office was never meant to be a career. It was meant to serve the public, do what you need to do, and then move on and let somebody else come in with new ideas. And these guys are making it a career, and that's just wrong.
Whether they deserve it or not, it always looks bad when somebody in an elected position votes themselves a raise.
Right.
It happens all the time, though, Chris.
Well, true, but it always looks bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Real quick before you go.
I hear your message. I understand your point.
Yeah, nothing more on this, but I contacted Commissioner Hibbs by email about the flooding of the Boise River, and I just want to give him a kudos. He actually physically called me to talk to me about my concerns about using tax dollars to pay to protect homeowners and private property. And I thought that was extremely big of him to do that, not just to send me some canned email or a canned voicemail.
Have a secretary call you.
Or ignore you altogether.
Exactly. He personally called me and talked to me. We had like a seven-minute conversation, and he just explained the ins and outs of what is probably going to happen and what may happen, and yes, there may be some dollars used. But what was important to me is that it was not being used to protect private homeowners that made the choice to build in the flood zone or in the floodplain along the Boise River, and that I feel they need to pay for that. Anyway, I just want to give him a kudos for that. I thought that was very big of him to do that, and thank you very much, Commissioner Tibbs.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah.
All right. And Mr. Tibbs also understands which kinds of donuts to bring when he comes here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of wish we interviewed him every day. Pedro of Melba says, just what does the mayor do to earn that much money? I have worked my butt off and have never made that much money in a year in my life.
He runs the city.
Yeah,
and if you think there's no pressure in his job, you're nuts.
Essentially, he does. He runs the city. And there are a certain number of jobs that don't make you sweat a lot but are still paid well.
Yeah. And there are, I mean, if you put him on a list of people who make big money in Boise, he'd be down on that list tremendously.
Well, yeah,
he might be in the top 10%, maybe.
He's an attorney.
Maybe.
He's an attorney by trade.
And could make more than $113,000 a year.
Probably could, yeah.
Yeah. So.
David A. of Boise says, how about giving all the terrorists immunity if they can make it to North Korea? Once they are there, let the leader of North Korea deal with them. It would consolidate all the bad guys and make a fine target for all the world's superpowers to set their sights on. Food for thought.
Who sent that?
David A.
Way to go, David. That is the letter of the year so far. Thanks, David. Back with your phone calls. Stay on the lines.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
All right, KBOI News Time, 9:36. Let's get right to these phone calls. Steve of Boise. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. You know, it used to be unethical for you to pass a law to raise your salary and then take it. That used to go to the next person who got the office after you.
That's true.
That's when we had real ethics.
Yeah, now that Congress gave themselves a raise, what, 4 or 5 years ago? 3 or 4 years
Yeah,
ago.
And again, you know, that shouldn't go to the people that passed the bill because they have a vested interest. It's like school teachers voting on school bond issues, and they're the only ones voting. It's always going to pass. But anyway, what I want to talk about was the flooding down there on the Boise River. I drove across the Highway 16 extension that ties into Chinden Boulevard down there.
Uh-huh.
And there's probably 5 or 6 square miles of farmland that's underwater that's never been underwater there that I've ever seen. So
now, where is this at Highway 16?
Yeah, you know where it used to end at State Street?
Right.
Highway 44.
Yep.
Well, that new section where they cross the river, take a drive out there.
Yeah, I'll do that tomorrow.
I mean, it's phenomenal. I've never seen water that high. And, you know, that's prime farm ground, so it's going to be a month before they can get any crops in if they have anything.
Well, if they get it in, then they're talking about summer before the river levels go down.
Yeah, I mean, this is a phenomenal water year. And
yep.
I was down on the Greenbelt the other day in Garden City, and I couldn't believe. There was a couple of places where it was over the Greenbelt, and they detoured you around to get to the other end. But
you see, only 11 miles of the 30-mile Greenbelt are open now.
Yeah, and you know what's going to happen is that the force of hydraulics is going to eat the underbrush.
No question.
And there's going to be a lot of trees that fall down on those islands and stuff.
Yep, I've seen some trees down already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a bad year for us when we recover from this.
Yep, it is. Good stuff. Thanks, Steve.
Pray for snow, Paul J.
No.
And cold temperatures up in the mountains.
Maybe up in the mountains. All right,
yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, see you guys.
It's something. It's really nasty out there.
Ivan of Boise says, after a rule change by Aaron Burr, the filibuster became possible. It was rarely used in order to stop Republicans. The Democrats developed the cloture vote rules from 1917 to 1949. It required two-thirds majority vote. In 1975, Dems changed it to three-fifths or 60. In 2013, Harry Reid changed it to 51. It has a long history of constantly changing the rules, so changing the rules is no big deal unless the Republicans do it, right?
Which they're going to do, probably.
Yeah, today or yesterday, I guess they did.
Yeah. Let's go to Billy of Fruitland. Billy.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
All right. My thinking on this, I'm referring back 1964 to 1972 when my dad was mayor. I'm speaking on the mayor and the council of Boise electing themselves, well, granting themselves a pay raise. That's fine. I have to tell you, when my dad was mayor, he was making $400 a month.
Wow. Who's your dad?
Pardon me?
Who was your dad?
Bill Brummett, Mayor of Weezer, 1964.
All right.
And he would walk. My dad had a wooden leg. He lost his left leg. He was a Marine, Second World War. But he would walk the sidewalks with the little old ladies and the little old men, and any time his left leg would get caught on an edge of concrete on the sidewalks, he would have the city repair that. Now
I like it.
Yeah, I'm serious. He would go out and walk the streets with these people. There was 5,280 people in the city of Weezer in those days. And, of course, earlier in Weezer's life, there was a lot more people. But at his time and tenure, he would take the time to go out and speak with these people and in a mohair sweater with tie and a crisp white shirt. You know, I can still see my dad doing this. He would pay attention to people's needs in the community. And he voted to give himself and the council a $20 a month raise. And he was making $420 then. And that's after his time at the post office. And then at the end of his tenure, they voted to give another $20 a month raise. So at the end of his mayorship, he was making $440 a month. Now, my point is, Mr. Beter, and I believe that I'm on a 12.5 percentile roll because the last four callers, or three, were muffin heads, nicely, in their thinking. The mayor has a lot more responsibilities than what they're seeing.
True.
Anywhere. And the man works 20 hours a day. Let's give him a little credit where credit is due. There are a lot of things that take place in a mayorship that people on the outside do not see. And I would just about bet you that those last three or four callers are most likely implants from another state, and I'm not going to mention that state. Now, the first state that comes up in mind is the old sign that my dad showed me years ago coming across from the Oregon-Idaho border coming up Highway 95 that said, "Do not Californicate Idaho."
I remember that sign.
Yeah, you remember that one, Paul?
I do remember.
Okay.
Good stuff.
You know, when my mom would buy me a pair of new sneakers, tennis shoes in the springtime, $8 for a pair of Keds. Now, you go buy a pair of Keds, K-E-D-S. I don't even know if they still exist.
They do.
Okay, well, you're not going to buy them for $8.
No, you're not going to buy them for 10 times that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's really
my whole point.
Yeah.
And so, Mr. Beter, I think, and I do not live over there. I used to live in Boise. You know, I had a business over there, but I'm in Fruitland now. But the thing is, you know, times change, and these people need to understand that these individuals take on a position of responsibility. It's not a figurehead.
Yeah, that's true. Billy, we got to move on. Thanks for the call. KBOI News Time, 944.
It's time for listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
All right, KBOI News Time, 949. Open phones Friday. Let's go to Carol of Boise. Carol, good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling to say that I believe the mayor, it doesn't pass the smell test for him to get a raise. That's just a little too convenient for my thinking. He's an elected official. His salary seems to me plenty for basic elected officials that do a lot of work. I understand they put in a lot of hours in Idaho. And I saw a website that compared his salary to employees of the city. That's not a fair comparison because they're not elected. They get their jobs and hopefully will learn them and stay in for a long time. But the mayor, if it's not enough money, he can go on to something else. He's an elected official. And that's how I feel about
it. Okay, let me ask you a question. You said you compared his salary with city workers?
There was a website I saw. I think it was through Facebook.
Oh, he did. Okay.
That was comparing, maybe it was his website. I can't remember at this point. But talking about city outreach, that's the one I remember mostly because I think somebody I know does that job. All of these other jobs are full-time or part-time, I believe. Designated such, and they were over $100,000 each. The mayor is doing quite well, I think, for an Idaho elected official. If it's not enough, they could lobby for the next mayor to receive a higher salary if it's really needed. But to lobby for your own is not the same as trying to work a contract with your employer through an HR office.
Okay, yeah, let me ask you a question. So, they instead of lobbying, as you put it, for the next mayor, how about just for the next term that starts?
The next term?
Yeah, so, I mean, if he could be elected again, but he wouldn't be giving himself a raise now, but would be giving the mayor who starts the next term, which could or could not be him.
I think that's at least fair to consider.
Okay, good stuff. Thanks, Carol.
You're welcome.
All right, good call.
And I don't know, I'm not against, I guess, anybody in particular getting a raise necessarily. Boy, there are a lot of caveats in that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when the guy whose father had been mayor of Weezer for 8 years, and he said that...
Well, that was a part-time job.
Well, yeah, true. But they said they voted to go from 400 a month to 420. You're not going to get a lot of flack for that.
It's 10%, though, Chris.
But when you're already making $11,000 a month and you go up to almost $13,000 a month, people are like, well, what for? But, you know, I don't know.
Good job you're doing.
Well, true, I guess.
Yeah.
And it might be well-deserved, but again, just generally when you are the one in charge of paying yourself and you end up with more money, it never looks that good.
What's that word? Awkward.
Just a bit.
Let's go to Bob of Nampa. Bob, come on.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
You know, something that doesn't get taken into consideration when these issues come up is the benefits these people get paid. You can figure probably at least a third above their salary. That's probably a pretty good rule of thumb. So that puts him up pushing $150,000 a year.
Wow.
And, you know, I mean, they've got the best benefits known to man, health care, retirement, what have you. If he's not happy with his job and his pay, there's always Walmart. Guys, have a good day.
So sympathetic. Thanks, Bob.
Gary of Emmett says, President Trump has kept his word and walks his talk. He has attempted to do everything he promised on the campaign trail. He has initiated action on the legislative items, although not successfully yet, and foreign policy the way he said he would, not telegraphing his punches and acting where necessary. North Korea will take a lesson from this and moderate future actions or face consequences. In the case of Syria, you have to break some eggs to make an omelet.
Now, here's what he said this morning, which I thought was made a lot of sense. He said, we have to do all that we can do to stop the spread of the use of chemical weapons in the world today. So, and if you just judge what he did on that one thing, you can understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can understand it. And
however, when you are the president of the United States, there isn't a single thing you will do that will ever be judged
on one thing.
As just one thing. Yeah.
Yeah,
it won't. It will not be compartmentalized.
But, you know, I thought, I can almost see that.
An earlier
story. I'm not big on going to war in other countries, as everybody knows.
An earlier story we had, some kids at a college in Florida, Florida Gulf Coast University, found a dead alligator, and then they brought it up to their dorm room and took pictures with it, and now they're in trouble. And the question I asked was, is a dead alligator an alligator? You know, because, I mean, if you have a live alligator, that's different to me. Bobby Aboisi says the dead alligator is a dead alligator, the same way here in Idaho, if you get caught with a bald eagle, dead or alive, it's illegal.
Yep.
Even a feather, if I am not mistaken. Ignorance
I think
of
that's
the law,
true, yeah.
Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, you can find a feather, though.
Yeah, but I don't know. He may or may not be right on the feather part.
Yeah.
But I know that it seems to me somebody got in trouble for having eagle feathers.
Kent of Emmett says, I believe the Idaho law does allow you to pick up a deer if you hit it with your vehicle, but for the meat, fish and game may take the antlers. You should report it, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so I wasn't sure about that. I wouldn't pick up something somebody else hit some time
Patrick,
ago.
Patrick of Caldwell says, hey, guys, just FYI, since Florida has a hunting season for alligators, then possessing a dead one without a hunting permit would be the same as possessing a dead deer or elk here without a tag.
Good point.
Yeah, that does. That makes sense.
That makes sense. All right, we're done. We are done for Open Phones Friday. Good day today. We have to go have our picture taken now, so we'll see you on next week. Bye.